Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Live and in studio at Studio 34, I'm Mike Blewett, host of Fantasy Sports Today. Live from Midtown Manhattan today. It's been a while. But it's good to be here with my compadre, my ace, my co-host, George Kurtz. George, how you doing, bud?
Well, it's good to see you're in the city today. How's the city doing?
The city's not buzzing quite the way it normally would be. It's early on a Sunday morning. It's probably the only time. I lived in Manhattan for about 8 years. The only time of the entire week where I thought you could get any peace and quiet and not be drowned by all the noise was Sunday mornings, early Sunday mornings, like before 10 o'clock. So if you're an early riser and you got out there early on a Sunday morning, maybe you're going to church, maybe you want to go to the park and just chill out. Sunday morning's that time of day. So it's pretty quiet getting in here, but ultimately here I am. And I'm here because we're going to be doing a draft right after this. At least I'm certainly involved in it. Dane Martinez. The Spittin' Statistician, Spittin' Speeds on Twitter. He's a guy that's going to be my partner in this league. It's a little bit of a high-stakes draft. It's a Carton and Friends sort of staff league kind of thing, I guess. So that's why I'm doing it. And I had a draft yesterday. We'll go over that in subsequent segments, but that's why I'm here today and looking forward to it. So that starts right at noon. Had to kind of do show draft back-to-back just like I did yesterday. And I understand the last 20 minutes of the show was a little bit panicky with me doing the draft and doing the hosting, but we got through it and it was fun. And my team's going to be okay. If it was 2012, I would win going away, but it isn't. So I'm going to have to rely on some older veteran players that will break down in the next couple of segments. But there was a lot of action yesterday. Did you catch any of the games? I was at family parties, so I pieced it together as much as I could. But I'm curious if you sat down and dove in on any action last night, this morning, or anything.
Well, I was actually the same as you. I was also at family parties, which is why I couldn't join that league with you. Same problem at my sister-in-law's house. So watched more baseball than anything else. There are Yankee fans there, so watched the doubleheader with the Yankees.
Nice little sweet.
Caught some of football, and I know that I'm probably screwed with Marquise Lee.
Yeah. So that was the top story that I was going to get to, and George teased it perfectly. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Marquise Lee carted off after suffering a knee injury. Marcell Dareus exited the game in the second quarter after suffering a pectoral muscle injury, but the fact that he was carted off is obviously really bad news. Have you seen any updates as to what that might be? I assume MRI is coming today.
Yeah, I just checked. There's nothing going on that we know right now, right this second. We're still waiting to find out about that MRI. I mean, it's 9 o'clock. Yeah. It's 9 a.m., so we're not going to find out. Probably, I mean, best case scenario is later on during the show, maybe during Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey and I from 12 to 2, we'll know then. I can tell you from Twitter last night, several doctors believe he tore the ACL and meniscus just from looking at it. It's a blow. I mean, once again, it's nowhere near what Darius Geis was to your fantasy team. Mm-hmm. That was a probable third, fourth round pick you lost. You could be a running back too. Marquise Lee's more your wide receiver three, wide receiver four, somewhere around there. Even a reserve running back, depending on how deep you went in your league, you'll survive without him. But it does, for me, Mike, it makes more the question, who steps up on Jacksonville in his place?
That's right. And you and I have actually had this very specific discussion, I believe, a week ago as to, we understand that they are going to be a relatively low-volume passing team, but that being said, they ran the most offensive plays in the entire league last year. I don't know if everybody realizes that. I've hammered that home, 1,078 plays. And despite the fact that they look to run, they threw the ball 527 times last year. So that is a good amount of passes to go around. That ranked, I think, in the top Like right near the top half of the league. I'll double check that, but that's still a lot of passes to go around, and it didn't mean that Marquise Lee was going to see 150 targets, but he saw 96 last year, and he very well could have seen over 100 again this year. So with a depth chart that is, I don't want to bash it in any way. It's just that we haven't seen a lot of these guys do much to this point in their career. They drafted a speedster in the second round in DJ Chark. Keelan Cole right now is listed as opposite Marquise Lee. So does Dede Westbrook step up? Does Rashad Greene step up? Does Dante Moncrief, which have a tough camp, now does he have a role that seemed to be slipping away? He probably, I mean, one of these guys could have been cut, and now they're all those guys I mentioned probably make the team because Lee may very well be out for the entirety of the year. So, you know, what would be your best guess? And it is a little bit of guesswork right now.
Well, first, let's say again, we don't know for sure about Lee. We don't. I mean, hey, maybe it'll end up being where he's fine. We've seen that before where guys look like a devastating injury and all of a sudden they're okay. Yeah, so we don't know for sure about that. But from what we saw, he got carted off the doctors on Twitter. I'm talking legitimate doctors, not Twitter doctors. It doesn't look good. And we hopefully will find out later today. It's a mess is really what it is right now. Even with Lee, it wasn't great. It wasn't like he was an NFL wide receiver one. He's not. I mean, I like Cole. I do like Keelan Cole, and now he'll get a bigger opportunity. Dede Westbrook was the high upside guy, a big play guy. Maybe it's Dante Moncrief, who's played on the Andrew Luck before, but really couldn't make things work with Andrew Luck. I don't see how he's going to make it work big time with Blake Bortles now, no matter how much defenses are paying attention to Leonard Fournette in the run game. You mentioned Chark. I mean, I keep looking at it. All I can think of is they have so much mud. They're going to throw it all against the wall and hope something sticks. You know, who can break out here? I don't think anybody truly knows. You're sort of playing the game here. If I'm drafting today, which you are in a couple of hours. Yep. By the way, is that the $1,000 entry league?
Yes, it is. So a little bit of high stakes league. So Dean and I are splitting it down the middle.
Yeah, Scott Angle talked about that a couple of shows ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, Just had to get that curiosity out of me.
Yeah, that's
good
it.
Good luck in that one.
That's it. Yeah, I'm.
And by the way,
certainly something I want to win. The payout is legit.
Damn right. 12 teams.
Yep. PPR.
What pick you got? Do you know yet?
I think we are 8. So it gets into that range where you could have a lot of different opinions about it. Which Dean is going to get the tiebreaker for the first pick. We're going to go the first 5 rounds. If we debate it out. Dean's going to get the tiebreaker on rounds 1, 3, and 5. I'll get it on 2 and 4. And then from then on, we'll come to a consensus. We'll do our best to come to a consensus on all picks. But if he feels strongly, for example, like we're talking about the Jags right now at number 8, this could very well be Leonard Fournette. But it could also be, you're looking at DeAndre Hopkins there. You're looking at Kareem Hunt. It'll obviously be around. There's a lot of debate there at the number 8 pick.
You're talking the big 4 running backs will be gone. Yep. Kamara's gone. So that's
Antonio
Barkley's
Brown.
Gone. That's 6. So he's looking Barkley or Hopkins. That's really as far as down as I'm going here. I would assume Hopkins is your guy unless one of those Kamara could fall, but I would assume Hopkins is your guy.
You think Fournette's gone at 8? And would you take him over Hopkins?
No, I think Fournette's available at 8. I think Hunt's available at 8.
Got it.
I expect the big 4 to be gone.
Yeah.
That's Elliott, Johnson, Bell, Gurley. They're gone. Barkley's gone. Kamara's gone. Okay. Antonio Brown gone.
Yeah.
That leaves you with Hopkins.
Yeah, Hopkins is always Fournette. A chance. That's it's for me.
I don't think Fournette's even in this debate.
You think it's a clear Hopkins pick?
Unless Kamara. I mean, I know this isn't an expert league. It's not a full expert league anyway.
No, it isn't.
Just from what Scott told me about it. So yep. There's a chance that maybe they don't like Kamara or they prefer Hopkins. You never know what's going to happen. Not that there's anything wrong with either one of those picks, but I don't think Fournette and Hunt for me is in this discussion. You know, my top 8 is the guys I just mentioned here. And I would expect, if it was me, that I'd have either Hopkins or Kamara on my team. And there's always a chance that maybe Hunt sneaks in over Kamara. I don't think so. But there's a chance it could happen in this kind of league.
Yeah.
But if I'm you, that's where I'm leaning here.
Yeah,
I'm
Fournette. Fournette, since we're talking about the Jaguars, Fournette is probably staring down the barrel of about 350 touches. I'd feel pretty good about getting close to double-digit touchdowns out of him. So I'm not dismissing him at that number 8 pick, but when Dane and I were walking through it the other day, it seemed like Hopkins was probably the lean, to your point. But, does this help to increase Fournette's value at all, the Marquise Lee injury? I don't think.
Depends where you want to look at it.
Yeah.
It probably does because he probably will get more touches now. But I mean, defenses know this too, and sure. They're going to play close. And once again, not that Lee was a great deep threat or anything like that, but he was their one truly legitimate wide receiver, and they don't have to worry about him now. I do like Fournette. Like, so when I say he's not in my top eight, I mean, he's in my top 10. I mean, he told me he's just barely out of it. It's just that the only ground I care about where I'll map out is the first round. That's why I asked you a pick. You have eight. Okay, then I'm listing my top eight players in order, and that's how I'm going in the first round. I always know who I'm taking in the first round depending upon my pick because I'm going to map it out. After that, it depends how the draft goes. I'm not mapping out, what do you have, pick 16 then? 19, 17?
Yeah, 17.
So I'm not mapping that out because for all you know, 16 running backs are going to go, or right. You know, you don't know who's left there, so I don't map that out. But like I said, for me, it's fairly simple. I know in my rankings, it's Gurley, Bell. I've dropped, I told you yesterday, I dropped Ezekiel Elliott because of the Dallas offensive line injuries. Johnson, Elliott. It gets really interesting for me at five. I don't know what I would do at five in most leagues. Do I go Barkley, who I really want a running back? Or do I go Antonio Brown, who I'm... I love Brown, but that means your first running back's at number 19 overall. Who's your first running back, Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon, probably.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's
ideal.
A problem. Yeah, it's not terrible, mind you. It's not. It's not zero running back or anything like that, but that's my problem here. If I pass on Barkley at five or Kamara at five, you know, now my first running back is Joe Mixon, where if I take Barkley or Kamara at five, yeah, my first wide receiver could still be pretty damn good at 19.
Yeah.
But I'm not all that worried about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, like you could go with Kamara and then end up getting Devontae Adams or A.J. Green, which is about where I was yesterday, conceivably.
Right.
Some drafts are going a little bit earlier.
If you can tell me right now I get Barkley and Devontae Adams, I'm doing that every time.
Yeah.
I'll do that every freaking time.
But
I love
full disclosure. I did have the number five pick in the Scott Fishbowl draft, but that effectively is a super flex league.
Different
so
kind of league.
I went with Kamara there. I wanted somebody explosive, and I really backed it up nicely, I thought, with very good wide receivers and good quarterbacks as well. So I wanted the running back early because I could tell based on the guys, some of the guys I knew, the way they draft, I didn't think there would be a quarterback run early, and I ended up being right. I could have been wrong. I could have gotten caught there, but I ended up with Tom Brady. I ended up with Matt Ryan, and I'm off to the races as far as quarterback is concerned. So I did take Kamara number five. I took him over Barkley. I took him over David Johnson, to be honest. So if I drafted again today, maybe I would do it a little bit differently. So full disclosure, I do feel good about Kamara.
Oh, my God.
Why?
You just depressed me so much.
Why?
Scott Fishbowl, I have Marquise Lee.
Sorry, buddy.
And well, Darius Geis.
Like you said, whoa, you're done already.
Yeah, Scott Fishbowl's over for me already. Outstanding.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a good run, George. You made it to August 25th.
I made it to August 25th. Yeah,
before it was over.
Great.
So back to the Jaguars. God. Like you said, there's a lot of mud there.
Done.
You got Keelan Cole, Dante Moncrief. We got Dede Westbrook. We got DJ Chark. Rashad Green hasn't really caught many passes to this point in his career. So he's been a special teams warrior and maybe not expecting much out of him. So I guess Keelan Cole is really the guy that you focus on. He seemed like he was in the starting lineup already. Maybe Keelan Cole's numbers go up significantly. Maybe Austin Seferian Jenkins' numbers go up. It will be curious, but you have to assume that what is expected to be in the range of about 100 wide receiver targets will have to get divvied out somewhere, and a majority of them will go to the wide receiver position. It just depends who.
It does. Like I said, and you're sort of going to play the guessing game, the educated guessing of who it's going to be. Maybe they run the ball more. Maybe they play more conservative with that defense. Yeah, I could see that happening as well here. I said, if I'm drafting today, not that I'm drafting any of these guys high. I'm not. You know, I'm looking probably around seven and later for anybody here. I think Westbrook's the guy I'd like to have, the big play guy, more than anything else. But I'm curious to see who is the possession receiver here, which Lee was. You know, the guy you may look to on third and fourth, third and five, move the chains there. Who does that become? There's no one there who stands out for me. Moncrief really comes the closest. Because, you know, with the work he's had in the past, but there's no guarantee. And I didn't want to touch Moncrief before this, and I still don't.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I think Westbrook's the guy, if I'm looking for a mid-round pick, you know, round seven, round eight, he's the guy I go with. Later on in my draft, double digits, it'd be Keelan Cole. He's the guy I wouldn't mind taking a shot at. But this is it's the one position. outside of tight end, which they're kind of thin at also, where they probably couldn't afford an injury here because they weren't great at it anyway. They had a lot, like I said, they had a lot of cooks, you know, a lot of Chiefs, no cooks. So that's my issue there. It was no number one guy here. When they let Allen Robinson go, they didn't even try to re-sign him. You know, they were saying, okay, we're gonna live with a smorgasbord here, a buffet, you know, of wide receivers rather than have one top guy. And now they lost what really was the top guy out of that buffet. I think they're in some trouble here.
I do think, though, the one guy who I would say right now, there's two probably. I'd say it's Keelan Cole and Austin Seferian Jenkins see at least a bump. Because Austin Seferian Jenkins, I can see him getting some of those targets. Fournette, you're already looking at 350 touches. How much does his value go up if it's 360 or 370? I to your point, it can make the offense less efficient because they don't have a third down, first down receiver out there. A guy that's picking up first downs is what I meant to say. So I think Fournette stays where he's at. You want to give him a bump by one guy in the first round. That's up to you. I'm going to keep him where he's at. But I think Austin Seferian Jenkins sees some value here. He creeps up closer towards the tight end one conversation, still tight end two. And then Keelan Cole, I think, is a guy where, you know, even if it's 10, 15 catches, that's a significant bump for him. So we're going to come back. We'll talk more about injuries. We'll talk more about the recaps of the games that happened last night. It's Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Mike Blewett here with George Kurtz for the next 3 hours until noon Eastern.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back at FST, thanks for joining us this morning on this Sunday morning. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. Give us a call at 844-843-6879. For those of you who listen to us on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and most notably the Fantasy Sports Radio app, thank you. Appreciate you joining us on this Sunday morning. We'll take you around the world of the NFL over these last couple of days. Obviously, many of you are drafting this weekend. I've had drafts this weekend, have another draft today. I've got draft on Thursday. I got a draft next Sunday. I have a draft the Wednesday after that. George, by the way, I tallied it last night. I forgot about a league that I'm already in on. So that's 7 leagues, and I'm capping it there. These two this weekend sort of got added at the last minute. One of them got added at the last minute, one I knew about. So that pushed me up to 7, and I'll have to spend a lot of time on these two drafts this weekend because we're talking a little bit more cash on the line. So I know you said yesterday you're down to 5. I'm up to 7. So who knows? Maybe I'll enlist George to help me out a little bit with these. Give him a little, keep it fair. You know, as Rodney Dangerfield said in Caddyshack, keep it fair. Keep it fair to help me out to try to win one of these leagues. Maybe George gets a steak dinner if I win and he helps me. Who knows? You know, life is a negotiation, George.
Steak dinner's good, man. Caddyshack, one of my favorite movies, man. Great comedy there. I just found out that I'm looks like I'm off from 12 to 2. They're gonna cover your draft live, Carton and Franklin.
Look at you,
edition of that show.
Look at you.
Good news for me.
That's nice.
I don't mind at all.
Yeah. So
Corey just texted me, so I'm free.
Atta boy. So yesterday when we signed off, I basically was saying goodbye to George for the season, but we're obviously together today, and we may even be together next Sunday. It's just
that we're together next Sunday too, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturdays is all I was trying to say. I know a lot of people listen. You know, if people get into their modes of how they listen and how they follow. So I'm just letting people know that's George and Dan Stratford from here on Saturdays. George and I will be here on Sundays together, and George and I will be on the radio on Sundays. Just not together throughout the course of the season. So there you go. 844-843-6879 if you want to give us a call, if you have any draft questions. For now, get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week and features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. What's going on in the background?
That's Caddyshack.
I couldn't hear.
It's Caddyshack, yeah. It's the very slow entrance to that song, but it's Caddyshack.
Very nice. Very nice. So Keelan Cole, by the way, we'll get back to the other injuries in a moment, but Keelan Cole is... He's the 183rd pick off the board in drafts. He's wide receiver number 66. So that tells you what kind of draft capital you're having to spend on him. You know, he was a wide receiver 5, basically. So is that right? No, wide receiver 6. So he probably bumps up to wide receiver 5 now, George. And who knows? Maybe somebody will catch some value if they're drafting today or if they drafted yesterday or, frankly, any time before we were talking. I think people might have been seeing value out of Keelan Cole because it's likely to go up.
Yeah, it is. Someone's got to break out here. Once again, we're assuming. I want to say this again. We're assuming Marquise Lee is out for the year. We don't know this yet. There's no reports. We're still waiting. Should find out sometime at some point today, I would think. But we're assuming he's out, so someone's got to step up here. Cole, Westbrook, Moncrief, Chark, Green. I think I said it. I would take Westbrook first in the draft. But if someone grabs him earlier, Keelan Cole is the guy wanting double-digit rounds. You can't wait till round 14. That's not going to happen anymore. You're going to have to take him probably around 10, around 11. But someone's going to have to catch the bull here. You put up all the relevant stats earlier. You know, I don't know if most of that's going to change. They're going to run a lot of plays. That defense is that good. They're going to force a lot of three and outs. The offense is going to get the ball a lot. Whether or not they can move it is anyone's guess. But they're going to get the ball a lot. They're going to be chances there. So I'm leaning towards Keelan and Cole. Even though I admit I would definitely take Westbrook earlier, I don't mind Keelan Cole around 11, round 12. Like I said, I'll say it again. Someone has to break out here. It's just, unless they're going to pick someone off the waiver wire once cuts are made. You know, cuts are coming next week. So once those cuts are made, there could be a receiver out that they take a look at. You know, maybe they're working out a trade. Who knows? But that's the guy I'm looking at.
Yeah, look, I think D.D. Westbrook's really talented. I saw him play a whole bunch at Oklahoma. He's got a little bit of a hybrid game, right, where he could come out of the backfield if they wanted him. So can he become a more polished wide receiver? Well, now's the time. This is the time for him to do it. Again, assuming that Lee is out long term, this would be the time for him to do it. He would be the guy that I would want of all that group of wide receivers. But Keelan Cole, obviously, he won some money for people in DFS, and he had a couple of games down the stretch last year that helped people. So Austin Seferian Jenkins, currently the 20th tight end off the board in PPR formats. I think he can get a little bump. These guys in front of him right now have been Vance McDonald, Austin Hooper, Cameron Brate, Eric Ebron. I don't like Ebron better than any of those guys that I mentioned, so I'd bump him back. And then you're getting to the Tyler Eifert, O.J. Howard, George Kittle thing. I took Cameron Brate over O.J. Howard yesterday. I just don't know what to think of O.J. Howard. I know they spent big draft capital on him. It makes sense that he should be in the mix there. But Cameron Brate has been so solid, and they signed him long-term. So they are comfortable using both tight ends. Brate has been more of a touchdown guy. That's why I leaned with him yesterday. I just find it would be a safer pick. I could be way off there, but O.J. Howard really slid down the draft board in the one that I did yesterday, so people are as tentative as I am. It was not just me. It was a lot of people that were passing on him.
Well, neither one's a tight end one.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. Agreed. Here. Both would be tight end ones if the other one wasn't there. I didn't understand the signing by Tampa Bay, and this is not a knock on Brate, who's a very good tight end. But O.J. Howard fell to you in last year's draft. It was a gift from God. You know, he fell to you in the draft. He's an all-around tight end. He's a great blocker, could be a very good receiver, has everything you could possibly want. In the salary cap era, why did you sign Brate to the $40-plus million contract? I didn't understand that. I understand Brate's a very good player. I get it. But once you drafted Howard, you were pretty much saying, okay, we're letting Brate go. Unless you're planning on running a two tight end offense, which is difficult to do with two very good tight ends, and I don't think Cutter's the guy to do it.
And two high-paid wide receivers.
I didn't like that signing at all. Yeah, it didn't make sense. This is something that's going to come back to bite you in the ass eventually because you can't pay everybody. and but you're paying the tight. I said I didn't understand it at all. I said I would like either one of the tight end one if the other one wasn't there, but they are. I'm staying away from both. You know, what you said is correct. Brate does seem to be the touchdown guy, but Howard came on late last season until he got hurt at the end. He seemed to be more the focal point of the offense for a while. Winston was in tune with him, but then the injury happened. Bottom line is we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you got Fitzpatrick starting the first couple of games until Winston comes back. So we really don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know what's going to happen because the first three games could tell us one thing, and then Winston comes back, it's something completely different. So I really like both. I have Howard in my Dynasty League that you and I play in. He won't start for me, but I have him. But unfortunately, they both sort of cancel out the other. And neither one do I want. As a tight end too, a backup, even that I'm not in love with if you have an Eifert or if you have a Jordan Reed. Because once again, what if that's not the week they're going to have any? They're not part of the game plan. The other one is going to have the big game. So I like both. I would like them both a hell of a lot better if the other one wasn't there.
I think it's well said. We'll go do some other injuries right now. San Francisco linebacker Reuben Foster is already staring down a three-game suspension. Suffered a concussion during the second half against the Colts last night. So I think you've seen the last of Reuben Foster until basically late September, early October. I don't know when their fourth game is, but that's when you'll be seeing him. I have him in an IDP league. I think this is the year for him to have a huge breakout. So hopefully over the course of the next month, he can recover from that. Obviously, we never know what the timetables are going to be on that, but it is already being stated that he suffered a concussion. So he'll need some time out, and he was looking at timeout anyway. He won't be around the facility from the start of the season until the beginning of week four preparation. So Jimmy Ward left with an ankle injury. Marquise Goodwin left the game but came back with a slight hand injury. So no worries there. Ravens lost a couple of rookie defenders. Tennessee Titans linebacker, second-round pick Harold Landry, suffered an ankle injury against the Steelers last night. And wide receiver Nick Williams also left early for the Titans with a hamstring injury. Harold Landry could be a steal in the draft. He slid. I know him fairly well because he's a Boston College guy. That's my team. It's where I went to school. So he's a guy that I follow pretty well. I think he's a little bit – look, he's a pure pass rusher. And I think some of the criticism he got and why he slid out of the first round is that, well, first of all, he didn't play a lot last year. He missed like eight games. He missed five, six games. And there was a thought that he could have come back and played in the bowl game, but he just said no thanks. And if I were him, I would have said no thanks too. It was at the Pinstripe Bowl. It was -5 degrees out. It was played at Yankee Stadium. It was miserable. I was there. I don't blame a guy who's had first round draft aspirations for saying no thanks on the bowl game. But additionally, he hasn't shown a great ability to stop the run. Pure pass rusher. But if you get a legitimate pass rusher in the top half of the second round, sort of mid-second round, that's an ace pick, George.
It is. There's no argument there. Yeah. It certainly is. Every team needs a pass rusher. If you get him top of the second round, you've gotten a hell of a pick because that's what those guys go top 10. Top five, you know, if you can find that player there. So maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. When it comes to the college bowl games, I think we've seen this now with a couple of players because of injuries that have happened. I mean, I'm worried if I'm a college player, I'm worried about my future, right?
Yeah, I'm out.
You gotta go out, make that money. You're a football player. That money's not going to be there forever. You're not a baseball player. You can play for 20 years, assuming you're good enough. You know, a football player, your shelf life is short. Generally, it's short. What is the average career of a football player? 2.5, 3 years. You think about it, that's crazy. So you make any money when you can. Bowl game, you're not getting paid for it. If you've already established what your value is as far as in the NFL and the draft, I don't mind any of these guys sitting out the bowl game. I don't.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to sound like because I'm not a college football guy. I don't watch the bowl games anyway. So I'm not a fan. But I'm just thinking, you know, logically here. And if I'm the player's agent, once again, player A, you're going top five. The bowl game's not going to help you. Matter of fact, it can only hurt you. You're going top five. I know they don't have agents, but they have advisors. How can an advisor advise you to play? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Things can only go downhill from here.
And obviously, you're talking about those bowl games that are outside of the college football playoff. I think if you're in that, you're playing, and people expect you to play. I don't think you're going to protect yourself there. I wouldn't be shocked at some point in the future if a player that was involved in that still backed out. But nonetheless, people would question your competitiveness if you did that. But that would be next. You know, if a guy feels like you know what, I'm nursing this ankle injury. I'm not going to come back. Leonard Fournette had an ankle injury basically all throughout his final season at LSU. And people, you know, there were some questions of people picking and prodding and poking at him. But ultimately, he ended up being the fourth pick in the draft. And the Jaguars are
maybe college football should start paying these players and they'll want to play.
Well, the funny part, George, is a couple of years ago when guys started doing this, people said, it's not going to be a big deal. Hardly anybody will do this. Now, Christian McCaffrey actually sat out his bowl game in his final game at Stanford. So people thought, this is a couple of one-offs. This won't happen. It won't be an epidemic. And I wouldn't characterize it as an epidemic, but absolutely this will continue to happen and will probably happen at an increased level. There are two very prime examples currently in the NFL of players that lost millions of dollars because they played in the bowl game. Jalen Smith from your team, Dallas Cowboys, he ended up being a high second-round pick, but he was rumored to be a top 10 pick. Top 10. That is millions of dollars that he lost because he suffered an extremely serious knee injury. It was a freak play. He got chucked from behind at the whistle of a play, and it severely hyperextended his knee, tore his ACL, created nerve damage. He had drop foot right up until the season started last year, and they weren't even sure when that injury happened if he was ever going to be the same again. And one could argue that maybe he won't ever be the same again, but he was expected to be a top 10 pick just a couple of years ago. Additionally, Jake Butt, tight end from the Denver Broncos, he's battling it out right now with Jeff Hoyerman for the number one tight end spot. And I talked to Ryan O'Halloran, the Broncos beat writer from the Denver Post, a couple of weeks ago, and he said that you need to keep an eye on Jake Butt. He could be a little bit of breakout is probably aggressive, but a guy that has some value from a fantasy standpoint, A, and B, really could become a player for the Broncos. He had an ACL injury in his bowl game, in his final game at Michigan. He went from a borderline first-round pick, lockdown second-round pick to the fifth round. That's a lot of money that he lost that he'll never get back.
I just think their advisors are going to start to advise him not to play. It doesn't make any sense. There's 8,000 bowl games nowadays. Everything's a bowl game. And a lot of, you know, unless you're in one of the big bowls, if your value is not going to change, then why are you playing? And you're not getting paid to play. Your value is not going to change in the draft. All you're doing is risking money. That's all you're doing, especially for the top players. All you're doing is risking money. You know, I don't know how I could advise any of my players to play. And it's all risk, no reward.
Yep.
I mean, what's the point? When you think about it, what's the point? I think it'll only get worse and worse. I don't say it's a very small percentage now. Of course it is. But it's only going to get more and more. Especially now when we're going to see more and more injuries happen. To play, you mentioned Jalen Smith, a guy who no doubt lost millions. He was probably a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
You know, instead, he was lucky to go in the second round. Really, most people criticized the Cowboys for what they did, including me, where they took him. So you're risking your money or your career. For a football player, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you talked about pass rusher stuff just before. And like you said, everybody needs a pass rusher. And I can tell you, because George and I are both in New York, so we hear all of the noise. The number one story surrounding the Jets is very obvious. Sam Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater's been a nice story, too. But they both revolve around the quarterback position. But outside of that, there is constant chatter about the Jets needing a pass rusher. Leonard Williams is an excellent defensive end. And a star in the making, some might already call him a star, but a great player. But he doesn't provide a significant pass rush. They don't have any pass rushers on this team, and it will be a problem for them, even though they've gotten stronger in the defensive backfield. We'll see what the linebackers look like. But they need a pass rusher, and they're constantly in the Raider Khalil Mack rumors, even if those rumors aren't real. They're just a team that's constantly talked about. So, to tie it back to the Harold Landry, you're right. Every team needs a pass rusher. I can tell you the Jets are in desperate need of it, and it's going to impact their team if they don't see somebody in that regard later at some point this year and into next year.
You can make an argument. Outside of a quarterback, the next most important part of a team is a pass rusher. Yeah, because once a quarterback, it's a quarterback-driven league. So either you need one to throw the ball or you need someone to get on that quarterback until he can't throw the ball, so he's uncomfortable. So it's a very important position, which is why I'm a little surprised, Mike, that we haven't heard more Khalil Mack rumors as far as the teams are looking to trade for him.
I think they're trying to get him in there. And I don't think they're going to do it anytime soon, but I think they're trying to get him in there, and they don't want to ditch a talent like that. There's only four places you spend money: quarterback, pass rusher, offensive tackle, corner. Come back and talk about that more after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back a little Mario Brothers. DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. So I have a chance to win big this year along Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to win two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name's going to get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in the action. So that's dailyroto.com/sweat. So there we go. So again, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. George just went back and checked the Jaguars' pass attempts. The 527 pass attempts was 21st in the league, right behind Atlanta and New Orleans, right in front of the Vikings and the Texans. I think of all of those teams, the biggest spike will probably be the Texans. I think they're going to struggle to run, and I think Deshaun Watson's going to throw it around a lot, which is why, as much as I'm not on board with drafting him early, I understand why people are doing. They think there could be a massive increase in pass attempts, you know, and if they say they throw it 50 times more this year, it's three more per game. It's not crazy, but that 50 more would put them at top nine based on last year's numbers in pass attempts, Texans.
Oh, are we talking Texans or Jacksonville?
That was Texans. I'm just saying. I know I switched there. I was giving a range of all those teams that threw around the same amount as the Jaguars. But the Texans, which threw the ball 525 times last year, I think they are the ones in that grouping that could see a big increase in the number of pass plays that they run.
Well, it makes sense. Obviously, we expect Deshaun Watson to be there all season long, so you would think, yes, they'll throw the ball more because they'll have a better quarterback than what they had last year. So I like it. I certainly can't argue that. I agree with you about Lamar Miller. I want almost nothing to do with him. Matter of fact, I wonder if, you know, Foreman was healthy, if there'd be much more of a running back competition in training camp. You know, I do wonder at some point during the year when Foreman is completely healthy, if he does take that job, or at least gets a bigger share of the job. I don't like taking handcuffs in fantasy. I really don't, because there are too many valuable backs that you could find there. But if I have Lamar Miller, he's one of the few backs that I'm going to make sure I handcuff him with Donta Foreman.
Yeah. You know, I think you and I are on the same page on this one. I don't really want anything to do with it. I just don't. We'll see. I mean, what happens there. But that offensive line is brutal, and he wasn't efficient last year. He put up some numbers, but he wasn't efficient last year, and a lot of people are assuming that Foreman's just going to take the job. I don't know that it matters either way, but it does, obviously. Like, as far as hot seats go at running back, Lamar Miller's on it, so you just need to know that if you're drafting the guy, that he may not be a starting running back for all that long. So let's see where I just want to figure out exactly what his numbers were last year. Lamar Miller, where did he end up? Looking at it now. Miller. Yeah. So he had 888 yards rushing, three touchdowns, 327 yards receiving, three touchdowns. So on the whole, his numbers aren't crazy bad. It was just really inefficient. They're not bad at all, really.
He's never been very, I mean, I think he's always been disappointing. Miami couldn't wait to go get away from him. I think I don't know if I weed by the fantasy. I think NFL teams have always expected more from him.
That's right.
You know, to be a better back. And he hasn't delivered on that. And I don't think he's an average back. I think that's the bottom line. He's an average back. He's nothing special. And I think that's the issue here. And you're right about Foreman. He's nothing special either. You know, he just may be a little younger, a little better at this point. But the bottom line is, like I said, I think they want to find somebody who possibly more dynamic. I mean, last year, this is the last 2 years. 3.7 yards per carry last year, 4.0 the year before that. That's not very good. You know, generally got to be in the 4.3, 4.4 range to get some respect in this league. Anything below that, it's like blah. So, like I said, I think if Foreman was healthy, there would certainly be competition in camp here. Maybe he'd even have the job. So I think Miller is lucky in some ways. Now, you're right about the offensive line. It may not matter who was running behind that line. You know, that's why they need a mobile quarterback, Deshaun Watson, so he could escape the rush, get outside the pocket to make plays.
Yeah, so we've been bouncing around a lot. Let's start focusing on the games that happened last night. We talked a lot about the Jaguars. They played the Falcons last night. That game ended up 17-6. Jaguars win. Bortles, 17 of 23, 204. He threw two interceptions, George. So Cody Kessler is, honestly, they've talked a lot about, you know, we talked a little bit about Teddy Bridgewater to Jacksonville, and I'm not suggesting Cody Kessler is going to be the guy of the future, but they have a really good backup, I think. I think Kessler's been a little bit underrated. Is he a star in the league? Is he a future starter? Is he starting the league? No. Is he a future starter? He could end up getting a Mike Glennon deal somehow if there's a lot of changes around the league, but he'll still always be in a battle. My point is that he's played really well, and I think Jacksonville can feel comfortable if anything happens to Bortles, just because he can at least play on the same level of Bortles for an extended period of time, I would think.
I think you might want to be this guy's agent. trying to get that contract.
I'm sort of bashing Bortles in the process of this.
Yeah, I was disappointed that Jacksonville didn't get an upgrade from Bortles. I mean, this is a team that I think is primed to make a Super Bowl run. They have some holes. Obviously, receiver was a hole with or without Marquise Lee. But quarterbacks, I think, I think if we're being kind, they have an average quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're being kind. And I think some of us would say even less than that. And I would have liked to have seen them make a run at Kirk Cousins. You know, not that he's the end all. Once again, he's not the greatest quarterback ever or anything like that, but he's much better than what they had there. Maybe they didn't want to pay that, whatever it might have been. But I would have liked to have seen them make a run there rather than re-signing Bortles. I think he holds them back. I think they told you all you needed to know about Bortles during that game against New England last year. The second half, they tried to take the ball out of Bortles' hands.
And the end of the first half.
Yeah, they didn't trust him. And that's the bottom line. You didn't trust by the play calling you chose. You say, oh, we'll win with defense now, and now we won't take a chance with Bortles. That's all I needed to see. And let you know they're thinking, yet they still stuck with them. Strange to me.
Two timeouts, 55 seconds, end of the first half. They knelt it. That says everything you needed to know. They thought they could kneel it out,
yeah.
And you can't. The one thing people do, and credit to New England, but people turtle all the time against New England. They get a little, they're like, oh, we got a lead here. Let's go into halftime with a lead. It's like, screw going in with a lead. You scored a touchdown right now. And if you don't score a touchdown, kick the field goal, take all the points you can get. You're on the road. You don't kneel it out with 55 seconds into two timeouts. You can't be scared that Brady's going to come down and score on you. And that's the way they acted. That's why that happened. So on the Bortles thing, 23rd ranked quarterback right behind Dak and Eli, right in front of Trubisky and Keenum. So we're talking super flex. We're talking two QB leagues of that grouping. I think you like Eli the most based on what we were talking about yesterday.
I do, yeah. I think Eli for a two quarterback league, super flex league. I like what Eli can possibly do here. My only worry with Eli is, I'll say it again, I think he needs to get away from seeing the rush. You know, he is a 37-year-old quarterback, been hit a lot, especially the past couple of years where he doesn't trust his offensive line, and he sees the rush now, throws off his back foot, and he's not stepping at the throws. And if he can get away from that, you know, if the offensive line can protect him better, man, he's got the weapons. He's got the weapons to put up a good season here, and I don't love the Giants' defense, so I think they're going to have to put up points. I know they're going to try and protect the defense, and protect Eli, for that matter, of Saquon Barkley. They're going to run him 20 times a game, whatever it might be, and try and eat up that clock, keep the defense off the field. But there could be opportunities to throw the ball, and with a strong running game, the play-action pass should be a big weapon for Eli.
Yeah. So rapid fire here. Bortles or Trubisky?
Trubisky.
Oh, Bortles or Keenum?
Keenum.
Oh, Bortles or Tyrod Taylor? The new pronunciation.
I'll go Bortles. I don't think Taylor has the job all year.
Bortles or Dalton?
Bleh. Oh, God, I can't stand Dalton. I really can't. I don't know who Bortles throwing the ball to anymore. I guess I'll have to get to Bortles.
That's still not good. Ugh. You probably have Bortles like barely in the top 25, if that. So we talked about Leonard Fournette. George,
right now.
George, you have Fournette as your seventh wide receiver, I believe, and ninth overall. So Fournette went 10 of 57 with a 21-yard touchdown last night. So all good. We talked amply about the wide receivers and the tight end situation there. So let's go over to Atlanta. Matty Ice, 5 of 12, 57. I should get your thoughts on Matty Ice. I really have liked him. I think it's reminiscent of 2 years ago when people were out on Matt Ryan, and you and I, on a different network, when we were on Sirius, we talked a lot about how Matty Ice was criminally ranked going into the 2016 season. Now, neither of us thought he would be the number, I think he ended up the number two fantasy quarterback, but he won the NFL MVP. I think this is reminiscent of that. I'm not going to predict that he's going to win an NFL MVP or anything crazy like that. But Matt Ryan at 14, I could see him pushing to the top five. I really could.
So can I, because there's a reason I'm waiting on quarterbacks in drafts. If I can't get Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Russell Wilson, you know, if I'm not drafting them around round five, round six, everybody else after that just has too many question marks for me. I'll wait forever. Yeah, I'll take any one of the quarterbacks late, and Ryan's one of those guys. Now, I understand you look at Ryan's stats. It's easy to see. The yards is almost always there.
Yeah.
Right? Outside of last year, he only threw for 4,100 last year. But other than that, he threw almost over 5,000 in 16, 4,600 in 15, 4,700. I mean,
he's had one game in his career where he threw for under 200 yards, George.
Right. So the yardage is there. The problem is the touchdowns aren't. It's almost every other year. 20 last year, 38, 21, 28, 26, 32. I'm willing to bank on it again. I agree with you that this is going to be I'm not talking the MVP that he had in 16. I'm not talking about that kind of year. But I love the weapons the Falcons have.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Devonta Freeman gets hurt, you still have Tevin Coleman. You have Julio Jones. Yes, he doesn't catch touchdowns, but you still have Julio Jones. Defense, pay attention to him. And I got Calvin Ridley and Sanu. That's a nice trio. Nice trio of wide receivers. The only thing they don't have is a strong tight end. Hooper's a tight end, too. Defense is above average. So, once again, they'll get the ball to the offense. I like Matt Ryan a lot. I do. He's not in my top 10. You know, by the way, Bortles is 24. I just checked my rankings. So, you were right. He's barely in my my top 25. And as for Matt Ryan, I have him at 14. That's exactly where I have him as well. But he's in that same tier as Roethlisberger, Rivers, Andrew Luck, Garoppolo there for me as well, where I can be talked into Ryan. But it also makes the point of how deep quarterback is. That's why I can wait, Mike, because I have Matt Ryan at 14. If I get him in round 11, I'm thrilled. Great. I got Matt Ryan. I know what I'm going to get out of Ryan. He'll be fine. And I was able to load up on running backs and wide receivers. I am very happy with Matt Ryan as my starting quarterback in fantasy.
George will be breaking down my team that I drafted yesterday. We'll tell you who I got at quarterback and see how he feels about that. But right now, Matt Ryan, 14th quarterback off the board. Guys around him, Roethlisberger and Rivers are right in front of him, and Goff and Mahomes are right behind him. Honestly, I'm going to position myself in most drafts to get Ryan out of those five. He's the guy I feel best about regarding upside. If you want to make a Phil Rivers argument, I'd listen to it. You can even make a Pat Mahomes argument, I'd listen to it. But I think he'll have better numbers than Goff, and I think he'll be more consistent than Roethlisberger. So Ryan is who I like there. Pat Mahomes is just, it's too risky for me. I think, could he beat Matt Ryan this year, stats-wise? Sure. But there's risk there for me, and I need to see him do it first. I'm going to bank on the NFL MVP that I've seen do it before, and I've probably seen play as many snaps as any other quarterback in the league going back to college. So I'm on the Matty Ice bandwagon. Homer pick, call it what you want. I'm just telling you that I think you're going to get tremendous value, as George just said, with the 14th pick. Julio Jones, don't think we need to spend a lot of time on him right now. He's going as the fourth wide receiver off the board behind Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, who led the league in targets last year, and then Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas right behind him. I feel comfortable with that. I wouldn't be shocked if people are taking Julio over Odell as well.
Actually, we've seen that. Odell's fallen to about top 15 overall.
Yeah.
He's going top of the second round of late. Once again, he hasn't played in preseason, has the ankle injury. I get it. I would take Julio Jones above him as well at this point in time. But I'm certainly not shying away from Beckham. If he's my first wide receiver, I'm a happy guy. I'm not complaining at all. But we are seeing him fall in drafts.
Yeah, and the running backs for the Falcons, Devonta Freeman's going 12th, Tevin Coleman going 29th. The single player that I will remember from yesterday's draft that I got sniped on was Tevin Coleman. It happened by one pick. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, who you hear here every day on Carton and Friends and Fantasy Football Frenzy, I took him right in front of me. I thought it was really going to round out my running back class nicely, and it didn't work out. Again, we'll get to my draft in a little bit. So beyond that, Austin Hooper. Let me talk about the other wide receivers first. I apologize. Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu. You think Ridley at some point is the number two wide receiver on this team during the season?
I think you have to believe that. That's why they drafted him. Once again, gift from God fell to them. As a Cowboy fan, still think that was a huge mistake Dallas made not taking him. But I don't think he'll be a great fantasy asset this year. I think actually Ridley and Sanu may cancel each other out, but eventually he's the guy you're going to want. And certainly that'll be the case next year. Sean has way too much fun.
Calvin Ridley, the 50th wide receiver off the board. Mohamed Sanu at 65. With relative values, I'm still taking Ridley there. There's an opportunity for upside. But as good as that offense is, like at some point, the touches are going to be capped. We got Freeman touching the ball a lot. We have Julio touching the ball a lot. We have Coleman touching the ball a lot. So at some point, he's going to run out of balls, but I do like Ridley. Even given their respective ADPs, I would take him in front of Sanu as are most people drafting. Austin Hooper, sneaky tight end pick. I think Scott Engel is really stumped for him a lot, and I can tell you that from a tight end standpoint, let me see where I got all these papers in front of me. So is 18th right now behind Cameron Brayden and Eric Ebron in front of Vance McDonald and Austin Seferian Jenkins. Yeah, I think it's sneaky, but, you know, they just drafted, as you point, they just drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Like, Austin Hooper is not going to out-touch Calvin Ridley this year, I don't think. So rising tide lifts all boats. That's what you could argue for Austin Hooper. I do like him at his ADP, but, again, he's 18th. So I'm only really going to get Austin Hooper from drafting a second tight end.
I'm sorry, what was that? Rising tide lifts all boats?
Yeah. Isn't that it? Isn't that the same?
Nice little... I've never heard that before, actually. Yeah. So, I learn something new every day here. Learn something new every day.
It's Austin Hooper before the break.
What's he playing now?
What's that?
Listening to the music in the back. I never know what Sean's doing. I think Sean has a blast with this.
10 seconds on Austin Hooper.
Trying to come up with as many... I don't want him tied in, too.
All right.
All yours.
Good stuff. We'll break down my draft in hour number two right after this.